important role in the development of our Christian faith. This was the first account of the passion, the death of Jesus. We heard about the last hours of his earthly ministry, the betrayal, the gross injustice, and the culmination of all this in a brutal execution. This is a hard story to hear. And this is just the first of two tellings of it. We'll hear the same story again on Friday. I always say, when we hear something being repeated in the scripture account, there must be something worth repeating. As we enter into Holy Week, we're presented with a redundancy. We're being told to pay attention. While the Good Friday account of Christ's passion generally takes the spotlight for Holy Week, the liturgical expression of the passion account on this day is arguably harder on the soul than Good Friday. I find one specific reason for that. It comes at the very beginning of our service today. We call it the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. I would describe the story of Palm Sunday as a spiritual whiplash. If ever God wanted to grab us by the shirt collar and say, "Pay attention," this is it. We start our remembrance of this moment in Jesus' life on a joyful note. Jesus has arrived at his destination, Jerusalem, the city of prophets and kings. There's a parade. We sing hosannas. People spread their garments on the ground for a colt and a crowd of people to walk on. Nobody seems to mind their clothing being abused like that. Jesus is introduced to the city as a king. We read, "The whole multitude of the disciples began to praise God joyfully with a loud voice for all the deeds of power they had seen, saying, 'Blessed is the king who comes in the name of the Lord.'" Every year, we too wave our branches in remembrance of that glorious moment. But it was just a moment, wasn't it? Things change pretty fast before the liturgy is done. Not long after Jesus enters the city, all those cheering crowds turn on Jesus. Our spiritual heads snap back at the sudden and dramatic turn of events. Readers of this story are left feeling abused by the betrayal, the gross injustice and brutality directed at our Lord and Savior, our friend and our teacher. This is a story designed to make us feel something. It's carefully descriptive to capture our imaginations. It's purposefully violent to arouse a sense of action in us. When you hear this story, do you find yourself hoping that somehow it doesn't have to be this way? I do. Sometimes I get so into the story that I imagine myself there interrupting the action. When Judas shows up in the garden, I want to get between him and Jesus and prevent that kiss. When I hear Peter questioned by that girl by the fireside the first time, I think, "Okay, Peter, stop talking now." When Pilate says, "I find no basis for an accusation against this man," I'm like, "Okay, great, let's all go home now." Palm Sunday is deliberately there to place us in the position of making a choice in the face of cruelty and injustice. The breadth of our humanity is on display for us, our capacity for malice, and our desire for righteousness. We should not be left with a sense of helplessness in this moment, but a sense of conviction going forward. We may be merely witnesses to these events, powerless to change the course of the story at hand, but by no means are we merely witnesses, powerless to the similar events that continue to impact the world today. Palm Sunday is an opportunity to apply in our time all the things we learned from Jesus as we journeyed with him into Holy Week. There's a song by Randy Newman that always makes me think about Palm Sunday. It speaks of the tension between what we know about justice and mercy from Jesus and how we ought to respond to the same realities we encounter today. "I Think It's Going to Rain Today" was released in 1968. And to me, it describes the tensions found in Palm Sunday in a song that has been described as impressionistic and elusive. It's deliberately ambiguous and purposely pairs the need for human kindness with the hope that today will be the day that it happens. In his song, "I Think It's Going to Rain Today," Newman holds up the quiet, persistent desperation of human need amidst the blind disregard of the privileged, with the faith that we can interrupt systems of degradation and make the kingdom of heaven real in our time. I imagine Jesus being led through the streets by adoring fans, while homeless people sit propped up against the curb. All those lovely garments spread upon the ground for animals and crowds to trot upon, they make a colorful carpet of disposable privilege. Meanwhile, the poorest in the community, draped in secondhand clothes, oversized and tattered, look like scarecrows dressed in the latest fashion. Their smiles frozen by their resignation to perpetual loneliness. And Jesus' followers pass by. They step over and in so many ways kick the can of justice down the road. They had so many opportunities to effect change in the situation, but they did not act. Yes, Jesus had to die in order for God to be glorified by Christ's resurrection. But did it have to be so brutal? The hope that things might reverse course dangles before us throughout the story. The characters we follow in the Passion narrative are clearly, deeply hurt by what transpires. There is no doubt that their humanity is overflowing. We hope this overflowing will cause it to rain compassion and justice today. But that is not for them to do. The story is as it is for our benefit. They are living examples for us, for when we find ourselves in situations of human degradation, false narratives, and coercions to make decisions based on fear and scarcity, rather than decisions based on love and hope and kindness. As disciples of Jesus, our role in the world is to make justice roll down like waters, like rain that brings God's blessings to all. Randy Newman's song, like many of Jesus' teachings, ends with the hope that we'll recognize where we've been allowed, where we've allowed suffering to impact our community. Agency that has been given to us to bring relief to suffering and justice to the oppressed, to heal the brokenhearted and bind up the wounded. It is within our power to bring the rain that can refresh the world. The violence and degradation we witness in Jesus' ordeal can stop on these pages if we let it. Toward the end of the gospel, we circle back to those crowds we met at the beginning, the ones who entered the city with singing and waving branches for the king. We read, "When all the crowds had gathered there for this spectacle, and they saw what had taken place, they returned home, beating their breasts." This is regret. This is the sudden realization that they had been tricked by lies and deceit, things we say nowadays are misinformation. Perhaps these are the people we can imagine in Randy Newman's song when he sings, help the needy, show them the way. Friends, the good news is this. The story of Jesus doesn't end here, and neither does Newman's song. There's a cliffhanger. The women who followed Jesus from Galilee have taken note of where Jesus' body was laid, and they'll be back. This isn't over yet. The opportunity to act in the world as Jesus' disciples is still in play. They don't know what next terrible thing may be in store for those who follow Jesus' teachings, but they're not giving up on the promises Jesus made. Jesus might be dead, but they aren't. As long as they are able to draw breath, they'll continue to follow the commandments. We can too, in our time and place. There is still hope. Human kindness is overflowing. And I think it's going to rain today. And that's good news.